After meeting with Cridlin, Lewis learned from Scully. He told Father McMullen that if General Winder would give him a pardon, he would tell what he knew about Webster. The news shocked Lewis. He next learned that Winder and Virginia Attorney General John Randolph Tucker had extracted a confession out of Scully. Later that day, he saw from his prison window Webster and Lawton being escorted into Castle Godwin, obviously under arrest. Lewis received a decent meal that evening, but spent a fitful night before what he thought would be his last day alive. But the morning of April 4th, the day set for the execution, Father McMullen arrived and informed the two men that Jefferson Davis had postponed their hanging for 2 weeks. It turned out that a few hours after Cridlin's talks with senior Confederate officials the day before, Lewis and Scully's death sentence had been postponed, likely not to placate Cridlin. Rebel authorities wanted time to use Lewis and Scully in building their case against Timothy Webster. March optimism in Washington turned to April fury, particularly among congressional Republicans, as McClellan dawdled once more at the peninsula's tip. On April 3rd, he finally issued an order for a force of 58,000 to begin moving out the next day from Fort Monroe to Yorktown, a key target 12 miles north he believed had about 15,000 rebel defenders. It was an estimate reasonably close to the number actually there. McClellan expected to capture the colonial city in 2 days with a joint Army and Navy attack, and then push farther north to West Point, Virginia, where the Pamunkey and Mattapony Rivers joined to form the York River. West Point was a terminus for the important Richmond and York River Railroad line that ran to the Confederate capital 39 miles west. The rail line would carry Union supplies as he advanced on Richmond. McClellan was furious, however, when the Navy would not cooperate in the bombardment of Yorktown.